for this day. I stood with a widow. We were holding hands as she said her last goodbyes to her husband of more than 40 years. And the thing that struck me, and I'm sure her too, was that he truly wasn't there anymore. It wasn't like the movies. It didn't look like he'd just closed his eyes and was asleep. He had been emptied of life. He wasn't there anymore. In our reading today, Paul is teaching on the resurrection of the dead to eternal life. And there were those at that time and remain to this day who were opposed to the notion of the resurrection, both Christ's and the resurrection of the dead. And admittedly, it's a bit of a stretch. But the experience I had that day affirmed what I already believed. He wasn't there anymore. Something had happened. Acts 23, verse 7, we hear that the Sadducees in particular really didn't believe. Disputes were breaking out between them and other Jews. There were many that were utterly opposed to the notion of the resurrection. Yet in our reading this morning, verse 1 to 11, Paul wants to affirm the historical validity of the resurrection. Indeed, in our liturgy, every single week, we say Christ has died. Christ is risen. It is a truth that we attest to with our lips week in and week out. This is not a philosophical notion. Often when I'm with grieving families, they talk about how their loved one will live on in their memories, will live on in their hearts, will live on in their minds. And that is a valid and an important truth to hold on to. It is a powerful thing. But that's not the kind of resurrection that Paul is talking about today. In a court of law, the laws of authenticity would validate the historical event that was the resurrection. The place where I came to faith and did Alpha, it was on week two that a large percentage of people who happened to be lawyers in this particular area came to faith, because they heard the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. And one I remember in particular saying, if this was my place of work, I would have to attest to the truth of this fact. Now, we may debate the meaning of the resurrection, the implications it has for our lives, but it is a documented event that really occurred in history. Verses 12 to 19, Paul moves from talking about the historical validity through to more rational approaches. Okay, so some agree Christ has risen from the dead, but they're not prepared to concede that all believers will have eternal life also. Verse 13, Paul says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, Christ is not risen. The two go together. We are a world in mourning for a truly great man of faith, known as Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Archbishop of Cape Town, famous for his struggle against apartheid, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize in 1986. In 1992, in an interview, he was asked if he felt hopeful for the future. He said this, "I'm always hopeful. A Christian is a prisoner of hope. What could have looked more hopeless than Good Friday? There is no situation from which God cannot extract good. Evil, death, oppression, injustice, these can never again have the last word, despite all appearances to the contrary. A Christian is a prisoner of hope, thanks to the resurrection of Christ. Verse 19, if Christ is not risen, we are most miserable. Mercifully, we go on to verse 20. But now Christ is risen and become the first fruits of them that slept. So what does this mean for us? Firstly, our preaching is not in vain. It is not in vain. Friends, I'm going to be real with you for a moment. In a moment of vulnerability, not looking for sympathy, but it is tough in Vicar World right now. It is really tough in Vicar World right now. A number of my friends have stepped down full time. They've stepped down from ministry. I've got two friends who are off long term with stress and sickness. The painful reality returning out of pandemic, coming back out of pandemic, is that many, many people are just out of the habit of coming to church. Sunday is church. Sunday in, Sunday out. Sunday is church. We're family. We come together in a physical way to worship. It's not the same online. God bless you who are worshiping at home this morning. It is not the same. A friend of mine, not too far from here, recently tweeted, "I have sweat, blood, and tears over the last 2 years just to keep the wheels on. This really hurts. Is it something I've said?" The media, as always, are leaping all over it. Is it the end of the church, the beginning of the end of the Anglican Communion? Well, I've said it before, and I will say it again, and I will go on saying it. Over my dead body, is this the end of the church? Over my dead body, and more specifically and more accurately, over the risen body of Jesus Christ, because he is alive, and his spirit continues to work today. Over his risen body, is this the end of the church? Our preaching is not in vain. It will not be in vain. Paul preached Christ in Syria and in Asia and in Israel and in Europe. His preaching was not in vain. His time was not wasted, as ours is not, as we come together in worship this morning. The cornerstone of the Christian faith is not a religious system, but a lived relationship with a person at the heart of the universe. A lived relationship, not with a deceased icon, but the heart of love, the source of all love and light at the very beginning of time. Our preaching is not in vain. Secondly, our faith is not in vain. If Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead and ascend, the circle is not complete. We are not reunited with the Father, and therefore we remain in our sin. A dead Savior cannot save anybody else. If Jesus Christ is still dead, so we remain dead in our sin. Aren't you grateful for the empty tomb? Aren't you grateful for the resurrection of Christ? Christ became our sin on the cross. He bore all our faults, our weaknesses, the things we're most ashamed of. He bore them on himself. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring our salvation. We are raised with him. We are raised with him. God looks on us because of Christ and declares us righteous. That's something I have to wrestle with daily. God looks on me and looks on each and every one of you and declares you are righteous in him. The receipt says paid in full. He rose from the grave clutching a receipt that said, your debts are paid now, in full, gone. Love has conquered death. If he didn't rise, he died his own death and remains in death, and we remain in our sin. But we believe he rose. Verse 20 says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead and the first fruits, for the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We believe in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living now, but we are prisoners of hope. We have a hope beyond this life because of the resurrection. There are those who say that the disciples were a bunch of conspiratorial liars and that the resurrection was just a hoax. But from the beginning, the claims concerning Christ were made very public, and evidence for Jesus' resurrection was fully open to investigation and challenge. All the enemies of Christ had to do to stomp on the notion of Christianity for all time was produce Jesus' body. It never happened. The tomb was empty. He was no longer there. They had the political power to do it if they wanted to. They had the motivation to do it, but they could not do it. Nor could they successfully silence the multitude of witnesses. Earlier in the passage, we hear he appeared to more than 500 people at the same time, most of whom are still living at time of writing. The same men who were cowering behind closed doors for fear of the Jewish leaders had been filled with the Spirit, were powerfully and publicly proclaiming Christ is risen from the grave, emboldened by the reality of the resurrection. Many of these men and women gave their lives for this conviction. So deeply they felt it. They had seen the resurrected Christ. Fourthly, it means our loved ones who died in Christ are safe. Verse 18 to 21 attests to that. At funeral preparation, I'm often asked, is my loved one safe? Are they in heaven? I answer with the very best integrity that I'm able to, and I assure them of the goodness of God, of the depth of his compassion and his love for them and their loved one. And I say with my hand on my heart, no one truly knows what happens in those final moments between a man and his maker. No one truly knows. What I believe in all my heart is that in Jesus, our eternal life is utterly secure, and we will be reunited with the source of love at the center of the universe. If Christ is not risen, then there is absolutely no hope beyond the grave. It means that all you and I ever have is what we see right now. And I just know in my bones this isn't the case. I know there's more than this. What a miserable thought that would be. What a black hole of despair if this was all that there is. But praise God for the empty tomb. It's not. There is more. There is so much more. In him, we have life and life in all its fullness. In him, we have hope. And we have a future. In him we have freedom from the slavery of our own sin. In him we can hold our heads up high, knowing we are washed clean by his blood and reunited with the Father in resurrection and ascension. Thank God for the empty tomb. Thank you, Jesus, for suffering and dying for me, for becoming sin, descending into hell. Thank you that you have risen and that as you rise, each and every one of us in him rises also. Amen.